Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. The headline this week, Chelsea outfox Leicester. Make it back-to-back home wins in the Premier League. Today I am joined by my brother Craig. How are we feeling?
Yeah, feeling good. Fourth in the Premier League. Above Man City again. The Champions League places are up for grabs as we enter the last 10 games of the season, but feeling pretty good.
It's three wins in a row in all comps after three losses in a row in all comps. So we've turned the tide, so to speak. I think there's some small air of positivity.
It's mixed.
Let's hear your post-match thoughts.
All right, just about scraped over the line here. 1-0 Chelsea. In a must-win game for us, and that's exactly what we did. We got 3 points. Obviously, Cole Palmer missing a penalty in the first half sort of made things a lot harder for us. But Chelsea created a lot of half chances, not really anything clear-cut. But the 3 points was the massive, massive, most important thing today. And yeah, we've got them. So Chelsea won, Leicester nil.
You still agree with those?
Yeah, I mean, straight after the game, I think, yeah, just like I said, a lot of half chances, a lot of huffing and puffing. Obviously, again, another high possession game for us. But yeah, like I said at the time, just massive, massive to get the 3 points. All these games in the Premier League, even against the bottom sides, are potential banana skins. And just to get the 3 points was essential. And yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah, it's good to get a little bit of breathing room. I mean, there's not a lot in there, but at least we're top of that sort of pack. Well, arguably second if you include Forest, I guess, as well. Let's have a look at the game. So, game finished, Chelsea 1, Leicester 0. 14th win of the season for Chelsea. The goal from Marc Cucurella, with a left-footed strike from the edge of the box. 56% possession for Chelsea, 84% pass accuracy, 6 shots on target at 19, and 3 saves from Leicester's 3 shots on target. All right, let's talk about some likes and dislikes. Kick us off.
Yeah, I mean, likes for me, I just noted, I mean, said it before, but the 3 points, I mean, that was the absolute essential thing to get from the game. You know, looking at the overall game, it wasn't like a whole shred of massive positives to take from it, you know, apart from the 3 points, really. Like I said, you know, City losing against Forest was massive to go back above them, 2 points clear of them. I think if you'd look at the overall picture, probably would have liked Forest to lose because, you know, City probably are going to pick up more points than Forest as the season goes on. But it just keeps us up there in the mix, you know. Brighton, 3 points ahead of them. We see how Newcastle get on tonight against West Ham. We're recording before their fixture against West Ham, so we don't know how they're going to do. But there's a lot of teams, obviously Bournemouth dropped points against Spurs as well. You know, it's going to be competitive. And, you know, the bookmakers' odds show that towards the end of the season. So all these 3 points, especially the home games, are just key games for us.
Yeah, I think the home games are going to probably be the difference between making the top five, if we call it that, and not. I think we've got some pretty favourable home games left. But obviously, Liverpool's probably the only one in there that's a potential. But then, you know, you might have the title sewn up by then. So,
yeah, we've got the small sweat of having to do the Guard of Honour for Liverpool, haven't we?
Guard of Honour might be fine because if it means they put out a bit of a weakened team because they've got some finals, then you know, might benefit us. But yeah, a bit of brutal to clap them on.
Well, I won't be there for that. But yeah,
but maybe a bit of a humbling to the players to get them motivated for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, like you say, 3 points obviously was key, but I quite liked the energy and the enthusiasm, especially towards the end of the game, to kind of see it out as a clean sheet. I think the obviously single out people like Neto, but Caicedo, I thought the counter-pressing most of the day was actually pretty reasonable. But I thought we were really trying to win the ball back quite quickly, and I felt that. I thought we did a really great job of pushing them to kind of kick the ball long, and I thought the general pressing was really good, and I really liked our energy in the game. For the most part, I don't think like everyone was at it, but I think the majority of the team were really fighting, and you could tell as well it was such a big game, like in terms of Maresca's reaction at the end, where he was obviously jubilated about the result, and I think it meant a lot to him. I know people say it's only Leicester, but these are the games that we didn't win last year under Pochettino. I remember those sort of Sheffield United draw and Burnley draw. So these are the games you got to win. I think he realised that, and I thought the team kind of emulated it in the performance. I thought it was a really good, energetic effort from us. So I liked that. I thought it was a decent outing.
Yeah, for sure.
Dislikes.
The dislike for me in this game, and it's kind of been a bit of a theme recently, it's sort of the slight battle at the moment between the Stamford Bridge crowd and the style of football that we're playing. And you can hear it a bit in the stands when you're in and around. It's not everyone. Obviously, like people like myself are sort of a bit more on board with these sort of more controlled displays where your opponent has 0.1 XG in the game, but you're not. You know, you still have 20 shots, but you're not creating, like, you know, you're not bombing everyone forward. You know, I think these are the more controlled, lower variance games that this sort of style brings you. And I'm not sure everyone is on board with that in the fan base, which creates a bit of a weird, you know, atmosphere. Because I think if you just looked at the stat, if you were an opposition fan or whatever, and this was Arsenal at home to Leicester, and you looked at this, you just look at this and be like, yeah, just completely dominant. It looked at purely the stats, you didn't watch the game. You'd be like, oh yeah, completely dominant game. Like, could have won a bit more, missed the penalty. But I think if you're at the game, you kind of feel like it's a bit more of a struggle than in reality it is. And I think some of the fans like feel that a bit. I just feel like there's a bit of a disconnect right now with what we're doing on the pitch and what the fans want us to be doing, and just doesn't create for the best atmosphere.
Yeah, I do think there's a bit of a... Well, I mean, particularly in the game, like I say, control could be miscued as, like, I guess when you're watching it, it does come across quite boring in terms of you're keeping the ball so that they don't have it and you're waiting for the best opportunity. And, yeah, you know, there's a case of risk and reward to a certain extent of we were probably way over that boundary last season, I think, with risk and reward, where it was like chaos, basketball games kind of thing, which was kind of fun to watch generally, but not conducive to like winning the league or anything like that. But yeah, there is obviously the fans, especially when you're standing up now as well, I think in the shed where we are. Like, I think if we were sat down, it might probably been a better watch. But yeah, you're kind of hoping for some like intensity to like the attacks. I think the intensity is almost more there in the pressing, yeah, and the defense, but not in the attacking.
No, I don't think the players are lazy or being like, I think you said it in your positives. I think it is literally the style of play that not everyone's on board with it. And that's not to say there's a lot of people that are on board with it, but it is mixed, I think, in the fan base.
I think it will improve when you get, like, I think if you put Hazard in this team, it's a much better watch.
Yeah.
And I think it's missing a star player, and we'll come on to Cole Palmer, I'm sure. But, like, it's missing someone to get the ball and do something really positive and interesting. And I think that comes from... I think with the way the formation is, definitely the wide players like Sancho and Nkunku were playing, who can't really beat a man with the ball. Like, it's tough then, because then you're asking for like passing and moving, and there's not a lot of space. So yeah, I think when we get better players in those positions, it might become a little bit more exciting. That's probably my my take on it. If it doesn't, then I probably think, yeah, it could get ugly for him, especially if the results don't echo the dominant performances, like you say. Dislikes for me, I mean, I probably echo the crowd. I mean, there's just a lot of negativity around the result. Like the performance wasn't like amazing. Like it wasn't like a siege of the Leicester goal, so to speak. But you know, if you win the game, you win the game. You know, it doesn't really matter how it happens. And I think you got to take that away and say it was a good performance because you won the game, and the opposition didn't create much. So yeah, I think I don't like the fact that people are saying it was only Leicester, and you know, we should be smashing them like 3 or 4-0. It's like, no, you should just be winning the game, and that's the most important thing. So my dislike is, I think the reaction is almost like people are like, it doesn't really count, like the win, and I don't like that. I think people need to get their get their history books out and have a look at some of the results against these teams at the bottom from like previous seasons. It's not been good.
Well, exactly. But also previous seasons when we've won leagues. Like you sometimes, yeah, you've got to beat teams 1-0. Like Antonio Conte, the season we won the league, made a succession of 1-0 wins. Mourinho as well was known for his 1-0s. You know, these are seasons we've won the league. So, yeah, not every game can be 4-0 like we beat Southampton.
I think I really, really want us to improve defensively. I think that's going to be a key to pushing us to the next level. This is a clean sheet for us. And it was a comfortable clean sheet, minus the mix-up at the back that we had. Their best chance was probably Tosin hitting the bar. I think that should be applauded. And I thought the work rate of the players to get the clean sheet was good, yeah, like really strong. So,
if you look at the game, like Leicester, and think about their chances in the game, I mean, they didn't create anything. And that was, yeah, their, obviously, you know, their balance. You know, they also didn't concede like 3xG in the game as well. But, you know, I think they went for a more solid approach. You know, it didn't work for them, obviously, because they lost, but they probably didn't get embarrassed like they might have if they came and sort of pressed and whatever. So, you know, that is the balance of the game. You know, football is all about balance, and they came with a very defensive setup. But also, yeah, 0.1 XG in a game of football is horrendous, and you know, that shouldn't be anything to be proud of, I don't think, in a game where you only get 3 points if you win.
Yeah, and I thought, like, we battled hard for it, and you've got to start somewhere, right? So, you know, that will do a world of good to the defence. That's how you start something positive. So, you know, every game is an opportunity to start a new run. So let's see. You know, we've got a really big game on Thursday. On Sunday. A marginally big game on Thursday, potentially. Depending on
who's... Hopefully not first. A big game on Thursday.
But yeah. Yeah, I think people need to accept the fact that a win's a win. And can come in different ways. Can't win every game 5-0.
I do want to quickly touch on, obviously, we won't be able to touch on it in temperatures because Robert Sanchez had absolutely nothing to do in the game and was could have had a deck chair out there, really. But
went flying at one point.
The goalkeeper situation is an interesting one. I know.
Well, it almost came back to haunt him, didn't it? I mean, if that Tosin one had gone in, that would have been the story of the game.
Yeah, and it shouldn't probably, have been. To be honest, yeah. But he obviously has those errors in him. I would never have recalled him. But I guess with Maresca, what do you think his thinking was in terms of recalling Sanchez for this game?
I don't think he thinks Jorgensen's good enough to be in goal.
Yeah, I think it that screams, isn't it, that he doesn't rate Jorgensen.
And I would agree with him. I've seen enough of Jorgensen now. I think he is just not dominant enough in, like, Chelsea. I think if you think about the top teams, like, they don't need to save that many shots. Like, when you're a goalkeeper in a top team, you're not, like you say, you could have had a deck chair out like Sanchez, but you need to be able to dominate the box because set pieces are really big, especially for teams. Think about a lot of teams come in and and doing that, especially probably thinking about Arsenal on Sunday as well, and giving him a run out. And then I also think saving shots, obviously the Villa one, there's just a few that have gone in, that header, I think, against Copenhagen. Oh, I just think Sanchez would have saved that. I just don't think I'm convinced with Jorgensen in more areas than I am with Sanchez. And I think,
yeah, that's the thing. I think Jorgensen's great with the ball at his feet. So in some of these games in the Europa League, he does really well at sort of, you know, beating these like pony presses that we get against. You know, he's good at like shimmying and faking and passing the ball around at the back. He's much better than Sanchez at that. But sort of other parts of goalkeeping, like coming for crosses, command of box, things that are really important in the Premier League, he just lacks a bit. It's so painful to say about, you know, Sanchez coming back, but, you know, maybe I was maybe a bit harsh when I said, you know, that was obviously not the thing I would have done. Maybe it is the best thing for just for the club for the rest of the season. But one thing is for sure is, I know there's obviously been reports out that we're not going to address goalkeeper in the summer, but I'll be unbelievably disappointed if we end up with even Petrovic as our number one goalkeeper next year. I want a top goalkeeper to come in, or not even a top goalkeeper, just someone who's not going to give games away. That's what I want.
Yeah. I mean, Sanchez is 27. I don't think Jorgensen's it. I think they're going to have to get rid of him, in my opinion. And I think this Mike Penders guy seems to be a potential option. We've got Slanina as well. I mean, we've got quite a lot of goalkeepers on the books. It does seem like... I'll be shocked if Sanchez is starting in August in the opening Premier League game. And I'd be a little bit disappointed as well. But it depends where they put their money. You know, if they buy a winger and a striker and a defender, people maybe won't worry as much. But let's see. Yeah, I do think it's the lesser of two evils with Sanchez, though.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know, maybe he'll come good. Who knows? Right, let's talk about the players. Let's do temps.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
Alright, me first. The freezer.
I know who you're putting in the freezer.
Ice cold Palmer. Let me tell you something about ice cold Palmer, yeah? Even on his dark days, he still impresses me with some of the play, but he was just MIA in this game, to be honest with you. I think after the penalty especially, I forgot he was on. He was pretty poor. I mean, the penalty miss wasn't a bad penalty, but I just never had any confidence he was going to score. It looked like he was taking deep breaths before it. And then the chance again, very similar to the Villa one away, where he gets the ball and the goalie's not in the goal, and he just starts running. I just don't think that's what he would do normally. He's just like overcompensating. Some of the touches in the box kind of bounces up against him. I don't know, he must feel like the whole world's against him at the moment, but he's got to get on with it, and he just didn't have a good game. He was subbed off for different reasons, I'm sure, but I think in a game like this, where we're against a low block, you need your number 8, number 10, whatever position kind of think he's playing, to turn up, right? A bit like what Fernandes did, you know, for United, against Arsenal on Sunday. You need someone to change the game. And luckily for us, it was Cucurella who stepped forward and had the shot. But it's kind of what we expect from Palmer, really, isn't it? And he's been poor for a while. So, yeah, it didn't have a good game for me. And just
seems obviously paying a lot of attention as well at the moment.
Yeah.
And he has the chances have been there for him still. he's obviously very unfortunate to miss the penalty. I don't think it was a dreadful penalty or anything. It's a very good save from Hermansen in goal for Leicester. But it's just, it's one of those periods at the moment where nothing's falling for him as well in and around the box. He's obviously had some opportunities where ball was bouncing, didn't quite fall for him. He had one like horrendous effort as well, another deflected effort. Look, I think there's no doubt Cole Palmer is going to score goals in the very near future, hopefully on Sunday against Arsenal, to be honest. But at the moment it's just not falling for him. I think Freeze, obviously, I don't think he was the worst player on the pitch. I think there was a player that was worse than him who I'll put in my personal freezer. But it certainly wasn't his best day, and obviously it came out that he was really ill with diarrhea before the game and stuff like that, but he wanted to play. So a little bit of leniency from me on him. But in general, obviously no concern about Cole Palmer at all. He's a top player, and he'll find his goals and assists again.
I'd give him a run out on Thursday, let him have some shots. I don't know, it's just...
I think they tried that last Thursday, because they knew that they were going to probably get that decent result away, and then they wouldn't need to play him in the home game. He'll be on the bench Thursday, I think, if we need him.
I think bring him on at some point and just let him have some shots. Get a goal in that game would do. He almost needs like a bit of an FA Cup game against someone, you know, just to play with a bit of like shackles off. At home, you know, not away in a cold venue, you know, difficult atmosphere and stuff. But yeah, because the crowd were behind him as well as singing for him and stuff. So yeah, we'll see.
Brady wants to make sure we say, obviously Brady's not here today, but make sure we say that looked like Palmer was pooing himself before taking the penalty.
Right, who's your freezer?
My freezer is always the same, Christopher Nkunku. He's just it's maybe a confidence issue with him right now, but he's just a non-factor in these games. Like when he gets the ball, you don't feel like anything dangerous is going to happen. Most of the time when he gets the ball, he just passes it back.
He's like a post, isn't he? You just kick the ball and it comes back to you.
Yeah. He's got no bravery, no confidence, maybe, you know, something that's missing in his game right now, where when he receives the ball in tight areas in and around the box, obviously against the low block, there's no threat or ability to play a 1-2 or to beat a man or something like that. Just, it's really disappointing. He's just such a disappointing player at the moment. And then, obviously, he got hooked near the end of the game because he's just like loses runners and doesn't track people, you know, in that left wing position. He's got yelled at by Colwell and Fofana at one point near the end, just before he got subbed. Leicester's best chance of the game probably came from him just completely losing or not running with his man. I don't know where we're at with Nkunku, to be honest. You know, I think people were saying he didn't have the games. I mean, what's he started now? Premier League games in a row? Six? Five?
Yeah, 5 or 6, I think.
He's a non-factor in most games. I don't think you can look at him and think that he's really anything special. And the problem is, as well, it's hurting his sell value. I think he's a pretty easy sell this summer with his age and his wages, and the fact that we've got a good player now in 10 in Palmer. Obviously, these performances aren't helping his value either, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just a bit of a nothing performance from Nkunku, really. I worry about
him getting outplayed by Sancho.
I just think he's taking up Sancho's best position. So you've actually moved Sancho to accommodate him, and he's offering nothing. Like, I actually think Tyrick George might have been a better shout. But he always has a bit of a threat factor in Nkunku, but I don't know, it doesn't seem like he's...
I think he should have a threat factor, I just haven't seen it. Like, it feels like he should.
Yeah.
Should be a threat.
I don't know if, like, he's... If you talk to him after the game, if he was like, oh, we just had to win, like, I was desperate to really help the team win, like... Because he doesn't show it. Like, you watch people running around, like, trying to help the team, he's kind of like very reactive. Like something's already happened for him to notice. what he should be doing. And like when the ball comes to him, he hasn't thought about it. It's like, oh, I should do something. That's not how he's played before for us. So, yeah, just poor performance again. And, you know, he's in a big position for us. And obviously, if you think about the reverse fixture last year, when we played Leicester, we won 2-1. I thought Felix played that role really well on the day. He was really involved. He had loads of shots, you probably remember. A lot of wayward ones, some of them from the edge of the box. But, you know, he was there, right? He was kind of shooting and he was involved. And I think we've kept the wrong player. I think we're better off keeping Felix.
For Felix now, I would.
Yeah, because I think Felix at least, you know, gives a bit of energy as well. So, and he's willing to try stuff, even though he's, you know, wasn't that successful with a lot of stuff. But yeah, I think nightmare for us really. And Mudryk's not around, who I thought would probably be offering a little bit more as well. So
yeah, the Mudryk suspension's actually been a really annoying part of the season. Not necessarily because he's, you know, been anything special when he's playing, but just like having a decent body there. Like if you look at our bench from yesterday, you know, there's nothing to really impact the game if we're desperate for a goal. Tariq George is the only person to come on. So it'd be nice to get some of this depth back. I feel really bad for a player like Mark Giu, who would have got a lot of minutes in this last like 6 weeks if he'd been fit. A real chance for him to show himself. You know, I think a lot of people rate him as well. It's gutting for him that he hasn't been able to take advantage of Jackson's injury. They both got injured at the same time. But yeah, just to go back to Nkunku, I think, you know, Arsenal on Sunday, would you start him?
Guess you're going to have to, really. I mean, you're going to have to. There's just no one else. The only other way is put Neto there. I don't, is Madueke and Jackson.
I don't think Madueke and Jackson are gonna be back.
Not available.
I think there's a chance on Giu.
I think Mudryk, Madueke, Jackson and Giu all not being available just... It feels rough, doesn't it? It feels like we're at the very end of our attacking prowess, and you kind of feel it when we're watching the game. But yeah, I think he's going to play.
Against a really physical team like Arsenal, I feel like Nkunku's just going to be completely lost. But yeah, we will see. We will see.
Yeah. All right, warming up.
Warming up for me, I'm going to give it to a man who I don't really rate.
Is it me or you?
It's me. Me first, yeah.
No. It's not. It's me first.
No, I just did the first...
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's you first. It's you first.
Classic. Warming up for me... warming up on the side of the pitch for a long time and on the at Cobham and now finally playing is Wesley. Where's Fofana?
Lovely.
Good performance, I thought, from Wes. Worried about him playing because I can't remember the last time we saw him, probably Villa. So, yeah, that was a long time ago, just as things were going wrong after that game. So he's come back and it all seems to be fixed at the defence again. Yeah, he didn't have any tackles in the game, but not that he had that much to do, but good interception. I thought he marshalled the defence really well. Thought he was... it was just good to see him back. Obviously, he adds a lot more athleticism to the team. He made some good runs from defence forward. You always worry about his knees and hamstrings, whatever's going wrong with him. But, yeah. I thought he was really, really good to see him back, and I thought he had a good game in defence and showed some intent to kind of get things going for us, which I liked. So, yeah, just good to have him back, really.
I mean, Maresca called him a colossal miss in the post-match presser. He said that he is the player that allows us to play in the way we want to on and off the ball. So, I mean, he's basically saying that he's not been able to play how he wants without a player like Fofana. So, yeah, I mean, I love Wes Fofana. I really hope that he can sort of get these injury issues behind him and get his career going again because, yeah, he's a really good player, good personality. He's only 24 years old. Like, people want to write all these players off when they're so young, you know, like Reece and Fofana, but these guys have got a really good chance of coming back and having decent careers still. So, yeah, I really hope Wes can play the rest of the season out and get himself a nice preseason and be fit for most of our games next year. That'd be really good.
Yeah, I hope so. It'd be good to see him playing. I actually don't think he was playing that well before, but I don't know. He seems to be quite well. I would say I think he's thriving in this setup. I think it's kind of he's a good player. Like, I would say he's.
We did take him for granted a bit when he was playing.
Well, I think the options are really bad. Let's be frank.
I think the options were bad when he.
Yeah. I mean, watching Tosin with the ball is like. You're just not sure, are you, sometimes? But no. At least with Fofana, you're fairly confident. Like, he does a lot of good like one-touch passing and defence out. And like,
he actually had really good games against United in that 1-1 game. Played really well against Newcastle. Arsenal at home, he played well. Leicester away, Villa at home before he got injured. Before he came off, he played really well. That was sort of our best run as well when he was playing there. Like, you know, he did have good games, to be fair.
Yeah. All right, who have you got? It's your go now, finally.
Yeah, warming up. So I'm going to give it to his someone who was next to him all day and someone I'm not a big fan of. But Tosin thought I had a really good game.
Unk.
But also not just him in this game, really. I thought he was quite good against Copenhagen and he was really good, obviously, against Southampton as well. Maybe I was a bit harsh on him in terms of writing him completely off as someone who, you know, obviously he shouldn't be a starter for us, but he's someone that can come in and fill in and against some of these teams that have bigger options up top, he can come in and be a nice matchup against them. And also, you know, at the end of games, if teams are going to play long ball or like set pieces, he's a good sub actually to bring on and just shore things up. You know, create a bit more height and you know, set piece defending. He's a good option. He's been decent on the board. I thought he handled Vardy really well. He's actually also slightly quicker than I thought he would be. He, you know, obviously Vardy's not got that electric pace he used to, but he didn't look like he was giving Tosin any problem at all pace wise. So yeah, happy with Tosin.
Yeah, I think if you consider he was free, I think it's. I think he's a useful squad player, isn't he? He's of a good age. He's 27, so he knows the game. Does he make mistakes? Yes. Is he the most reliable defender? No. But can he do a job? 7 out of 10. Yeah. And you know, occasionally we see some 8s and 9s, and I think we've seen that recently. So. He's in a good vein of form, and I think the balance is good with the team, with the inversion of Kukurea. So, yeah, he's in the middle of the three, which maybe suits him a bit more than being the wide player, because I think they kind of had Colwell there. But balance seems to be better, and I think it's suiting him and has suited him. And like you say, he's got decent recovery pace, so that's helpful as well. All right.
Boiling hot.
Well, there's only one man. Yeah, there's actually three.
Yeah,
four. Players.
I don't know about four.
I'll do Mark Cucurella, man of the match, player of the match. One goal, the winning goal, game winner. He's quite the goal scorer these days. People are calling him the next Marcus Alonso. There you go. I mean, he's got 4 goals this season and 1 assist. Very impressive. I think this is just a case of just someone who's really good at football, just being utilised in the correct way. As I mentioned last week or the week before, you've got to let people like him loose, give him the power to run, a bit like Neto. And you'll reap the rewards, and we are. Like, his energy is incredible. Defensively perfect, I'd say. There's some unbelievable recoveries in this game from Cucurella. Like, defensively, so impressive. And obviously, going forward, is an area that we weren't 100% sure on him, especially when we had like Chilwell and we were kind of debating that, like, yeah, Chilwell's a better attacker. But actually, I think Cucurella is now proving that he can do the business in the box or outside
the box. He's got a cool finish on him, Cucurella.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's that kind of, because he's so accurate with his passing and he's so cool under pressure, his shooting will inevitably be good, I think, because he's got a sort of a bit of a weapon on his left foot.
Rocket, some might say.
Yeah, well, he scored a rocket, didn't we, when we were at the pub watching him for Brighton, but his only goal in the end. But I thought he's just like epitomizes what you want in the team. It's actually a shame he's 26. Ideally, we would have got him kind of fitting with everyone else. He'd be 2 years younger. But
I think he, as we go forward, will emerge as one of the leader types, you know. And I can imagine him on a title run, you know, being a guy that really gets us going in some of these games, exactly like Leicester at home actually yesterday, that we need a bit of a kick.
Be like Kasper Lequator, isn't he?
Exactly, yeah. I was going to make that comp, for sure. He's got that sort of energy, and it's, you know, leadership energy, really. That's what it is. You know, you won't see that type of behaviour from Christopher Nkunku, and you won't see that from Jadon Sancho.
No.
And you won't see that from, you know, Tosin, maybe. You know, there's certain players that just sort of exude that energy and desire to win these type of games, and yeah, that's what you need to win leagues. You need a group of players like that, and yeah, I think Cucurella, like you say, 26, but you know, he's got a few more years left in him yet.
Well, I think I think we're gonna see, like you say, I think we're gonna see when he's like 28 29, I think we're gonna see the best of him. You just need to make sure that we've got all the right players in the other positions as well.
Yeah,
to get the best out of him, and obviously Caicedo, etc. So, yeah, I think he's definitely the star of the show at the moment, and he's putting his name in the hat for probably recency bias for Player of the Year. I don't think he is Player of the Year, but he's in the mix for me.
He's definitely in the mix for sure.
Yeah, which is great.
He's in the 3-man committee for Player of the Season.
Yeah, well, I think it's a 2-man committee at the moment. But you go with your boiling hot, who I think's the other person.
Yeah, I mean, the other player of the season for us so far that you're referencing, obviously Cole Palmer with his performances at the start of the season, for sure will be in the mix. And you know, he's got 10 games left to kick on as well. But yeah, I mean, 10 of 11 ground jewels won for Moses Caicedo yesterday. I mean, he is just a machine in the midfield.
He didn't get booked.
And he didn't get booked, so he'll be playing against Arsenal hopefully on Sunday, injury permitting. And yeah, just he's just a monster in that midfield. He wins everything. He's after everything. There's a couple of ridiculous, one that stands out, tackles in this game where he was chasing someone back and just managed to win the ball from behind without touching the player. He's you know, people talk about, you know, Rodri just won Ballon d'Or. I honestly think if Caicedo was playing in an elite team like Real Madrid, he would be getting so much hype, because he is an unreal player. He just is. He's a showstopper in a position where you don't have any showstoppers, you know, really. And yeah, he reminds me of so many players that in that midfield role that have had this high energy. I don't want to make too big a comp for him, obviously a different body type completely, but he does have a bit of Roy Keane about him, I think. And you know, that sort of more complete midfielder than someone like a Kante or a Makélélé, who we've had historically in the past as well, because he's got that bruising element about him as well. He sort of plays a little bit on the edge, so yeah, I do really love Moises Caicedo, and yeah, he's another fantastic game in the books for him.
Yeah, the thing I think, like, I agree about Roy Keane, probably in his gameplay, I think personality may be slightly different, but maybe we'll see that come through.
I think he's still young, yeah. Obviously, look, no one really has got Roy Keane's actual personality, but he's still only 23, Caicedo.
Yeah. Yeah, you forget how young that is. Yeah, like, he's the best player on the pitch pretty much every week, barring people who score. So yeah, I think it's 4 tackles, 3 interceptions. There's just no, there won't be a better player this season than him, in my opinion. Like, he's already done so much, and he just does it every game. To receive the ball where he does in a lot of games as well is just crazy. I actually think Lavia would give him a run for his money if he could ever stay fit, in terms of joining him in like that sort of the battle in midfield. I think we've seen it this season, like especially at Anfield, where we can play with the big boys if we give him a good partner. At the moment, I think Enzo is not quite at that level, but he is. He's doing the work for a few players. So if you can put other people alongside him and beef the team up on the front end as well, I think we're going to reap the rewards. This is an excellent buy. Get a lot of criticism.
It's crazy that you think probably he's actually worth 100 million.
I did say that at the time, I think, last season. I think he is worth, you could see it immediately. Like, some people just, I think Declan Rice is worth 100 million. I do think Caicedo is worth 100 million. Like, they're just, he especially is a very, very important player in the team. You can't replace him. He's just like, there isn't a player like him. And people talk about, like, Belieba at Brighton. He's nowhere near as good as Caicedo. He's not even in the conversation.
Much younger player, but yeah.
But like, I don't know. I don't think there's a player like him, really.
Yeah, he's a unique player.
Most similar, but I don't know. I'd probably have Caicedo over him, but they're the two standards.
I don't think you'd trade Caicedo for Rice. I don't think many people would. The only thing you'd say, obviously, Rice's personality and leadership is impressive.
Well, there's always the question.
And in terms of winning a league, I think, you know, like we were talking about Nkunku earlier, I think you do need the Premier League, especially ahead of other leagues. You do need that because some of these games you're going to have to dig out and you do need these type of players. But I think Caicedo can be that as well, yeah. And yeah, I don't think... they are slightly different players, but I do think most people would definitely choose Caicedo over Rice if they had the choice, which says
I think a leader is more important in defence and attack than it is in midfield.
Yeah.
I've said it.
I would agree.
I don't think, like, if I think about, fine, Roy Keane is, like, Vieira, right? But, like, I just think having someone in those positions just, I don't know, it gets you a bit further. I think Kompany at City was worth more. For those seasons, they were like consistent.
Van Dijk,
Bruno, captain. Yeah, the Van Dijk's another good one. And I think having like a Drogba leader in attack, like, can go and win you a game. I just don't think Caicedo as a leader is that important. Like, he's so good, but I think, yeah, I prefer leaders in attack and defense. So. We'll see. But yeah, world class coming soon for Caicedo. I think probably Champions League year. I think if we have a good run.
I mean, look, we've got to be playing at a higher level for him to be recognised, haven't we? But like I said, if he was playing for Real Madrid, and the exposure and then whatever that they get, people would be raving about him every week in Champions League and talking about him as the best midfielders in the world combo, for sure. I mean, some people are still talking about him like that. Yeah. And look, he's going to be in a lot of Premier League Team of the Seasons this year, even with the season we're having, which has been good, but nothing exceptional. I think, yeah, we're not far off that conversation with Caicedo. A couple of other people I just wanted to quickly mention. One is Enzo, who I think is starting to prove himself as a bit more of a player that we miss when he's not playing. He's contributing a lot more in games. So I just wanted to give him a quick shout out. And also want to give a shout out to Pedro Neto, who at the end of the game was running his absolute socks off, pressing and giving everything up there. Fans really appreciate that as well. So
yeah, I mean, I said it to you after the game, sort of the peep show reference of some people are so rainbow rhythms and some people are not, you're not so rainbow rhythms. And I think people like Neto and Enzo, they're looking like they are part of what could be a big team in the league.
Yeah.
And then you've got people like Sancho and Nkunku and Sanchez, who are just looking like they've got no business being near these sort of team, like in this sort of in this on the same pitch as some of these players, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So yeah, Neto for me is having an absolute worldie at nine. Good solution for us.
He's been rejuvenated a bit, hasn't he?
Well, he's just been told like you can just go annoy and press everyone. I mean, he must be really annoying to play against. Just constantly running at people and like kicking them and, you know, tackling and falling over, just causing chaos. It's perfect.
I love
kind of Costa, like in terms of like that sort of element. He's very much more mobile than Costa. Yeah.
Well, we could have a real pressing machine. Yeah, our team if we recruit correctly. You know, in those wing positions.
Well, I think that's. I wonder if he's looking at someone like a Delap over an Osimhen and thinking, God, if you have an attack of like Neto, Delap, and then it's probably why they're looking at Garnacho. That's hard to play against.
Yeah,
because it's three sprinters basically, who will run at you all day. And we won't give you any comfort on the ball. And, you know, we look at some of the Champions League games this week, last week, like Liverpool, like you see how hard those teams are working, like up front, like Paris. Some of the teams were not working up front as well. But like Liverpool, historically, you know, that's where they won the league with people like Mane, Salah, Firmino, they were just running around like headless chickens, pressing people, like Henderson from midfield. So, still have the quality as well.
Game. This week, Liverpool versus PSG should be a good game.
Yeah.
In the Champions League as well.
Yeah. The whole, I think definitely, I'm starting to really see the potential in the team. Just need to get the recruitment right in the summer. I think that's so important.
Well, as well, just to finish strong now and make sure we get in the Champions League as well. That I think will be really important, because not only to attract players, but also for the extra money as well, in the coffers for the TV money for the Champions League.
Yeah. Yeah, we need the money. Okay. Any word on Leicester? Looks like they're going down, doesn't it?
Poor. Yeah, I mean, look. Obviously, you turn up and have three shots and 0.1 xG. You know, it's poor. They were probably worse than I thought they'd be in the game. You know, the thing is that the scoreline sort of makes the game look as if it was a contest. But really, I mean, Leicester, they'd have to have got so lucky to got anything from this the game, really. And you know, we've watched Southampton last week, and they were absolutely appalling as well. You know. This is going to be back-to-back seasons, it looks like, where the three promoted teams are just straight back down. Look, the Premier League is so, so tough. These games are so hard. The gulf in quality, you know, the worst teams even in the league, really, you're looking at, you know, the teams above the relegation zone, above Ipswich, Leicester and Southampton, you know, Wolves, Everton, West Ham, Man United and Spurs. I mean, they've all got decent things about their clubs. You know, they've got good, talented squads. You know, they're miles away from Leicester and Southampton, especially. Even Ipswich as well. But, I mean, the gulf is becoming really apparent, I think, when these Championship clubs turn up now. They're getting well and truly exposed.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. It is hard, I think.
Where are they going to get their points from? That's the thing. Like when these teams go to like Wolves away, Everton away, West Ham away, you know, Brentford away, Palace away, Fulham away. You know, these are such hard games. These are games that, you know, the top teams struggle in.
But I think, you know, this is just a long situation that's occurred from the TV money and the, you know, parachute payments to those clubs that were, you know, were going down and coming back up, which still exists, obviously. But, you know, they've improved in a lot of areas, but there's only room for so many teams like that. And I think the money that the clubs have had has you know, kept them able to retain a lot of the players, to keep them in a strong position. But that changes every year. You know, there will be teams that will sell too many of their best players and get caught out. But it is becoming harder. I don't know where the end game is for that, because there's a chance that you just end up with people having to spend loads of money when they come into the league, but they can't because of FFP. So, yeah, it's a tricky situation they're going to have to address at some point. Right. Game on Thursday, 2-1 up. Should be a pretty routine win, you think?
Yeah, I don't think we need to say much about Thursday night. It should just be, you know, fairly straightforward, and we should keep, you know, bench ready of players that, you know, if we need them, they can come on. But really, the main focus this week is on preparing for Arsenal on Sunday. We'll get through the game on Thursday for sure.
Do you think we'll see Lavia?
I think Lavia might get a run out on Thursday with the intention to possibly start him on Sunday. I know for sure Maresca would love to start him, because I know he loves that setup against the top teams with Lavia and Caicedo, and I don't blame him. It's looked really good. So, yeah, maybe they're all setting up for Lavia to play on Sunday. Certainly would be a massive feather in Maresca's cap for this season if he can beat Arsenal away. That'll be one that I think will really win the fans over for him. And I do think he, to an extent, needs to do that with some of the fan base. Not myself, but some of the fan base.
Yeah, I do think he has to win a big game at some point, especially away from home. So we've seen the Tottenham game, but they're looking pretty average this season at best. So, yeah, we'll see. I think we're looking a bit light up front, aren't we? So it could be tricky.
They're looking a bit light up front as well. So,
yeah, that's true. We've got to play Marino up front. Who's?
I think if we can get James, Fofana, Colwill and Cucurella out, you know, I think, you know, we've got a chance to keep them out for sure. So then it's just, can we get a goal?
Old ice cold Palmer needs to turn up, I think.
I don't think we'll be losing 5-0 like we lost there last season.
I will be devastated if we lost 5-0 with this team.
Yeah.
Last year, I'd actually given up before the game started.
Yeah,
I saw same. The team sheet. I think that was just an easy loss, especially with the intensity they were playing at. I think their intensity is miles away from last season, and then their players are not as good. So, yeah, there's a chance.
Yeah, Brady will probably do a preview for the Arsenal away game on Friday. Look forward to hearing what he had to say, but I'll just give a quick readout for the team that we played against Arsenal away last season. Petrovic, Gilchrist, De Zarzi, Badia Shiel. I mean, that is just hopeless. Fernandez, Caicedo, Mudrick, Gallagher, Madueke, Jackson. I mean,
who was left back? Cucurella?
Yeah, Cucurella, yeah.
I mean, Gilchrist go the goal away as well.
Yeah, Gilchrist, De Zarzi, Badia Shiel. I mean, Christ almighty, it doesn't get much worse than that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to Brady's preview pod. I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you very much.
No worries.
For more updates on all things ESCR, you can follow us on X at Eat Sleep Chelsea and Instagram at Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be, and thanks for listening.